you all today for the Unity Day. At 2:30, we're going to pause and join hands with members of our 6,700 groups in 75 countries as an expression of unity to reaffirm the strength inherent in OA worldwide. So first, we're going to start with a moment of silence for all those suffering in and out of the room. And now, we want to take 5 breaths together to breathe in what is around us and breathe out to share what is in us with all our OA fellows. So everybody, breathe in joy and breathe out joy. Breathe in peace and breathe out peace. Breathe in serenity. Breathe out serenity. Breathe in hope. And breathe out hope. And breathe in love. And breathe out love. And let it fill the room. In the town and the world.
Okay, I invite you all to join hands with the person next to you as we say the OA promise together. I put my hand in yours.
And together we can do what we can never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands, a power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Back, it works and it works. It's a work.
Amazing grace, but I have a buddy over here with you. So let's go.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Okay,
I just wanted to make a real quick pitch for service. I am also a serviceaholic, and it gets me through the day. It's my reason for continuing this journey. It's my reason for being a part of all of you. And as Margaret alluded to before, I am a member of the Central Jersey Intergroup. I am the co-chair of the Central Jersey Intergroup. And I'm also your Region 7 co-chair. And all I can say is, if you think for one second that you have one good idea that could blossom into something wonderful like this, you belong at your respective intergroups. Check it out. Go once, maybe go twice if you don't like it the first time, and see what you can do, because through us, through all of us, this program continues to grow year after year. So please, we need you. We need fresh minds, fresh ideas, and really nice new things to come out of everybody. So find your local, your regular intergroup, and see if maybe you might want to join. So, and we are going to begin our afternoon speaker program. Is she here? Oh, there you are. And it is my pleasure and honor to introduce Donna from Wyomissing, PA. Right?
Ready?
Right. Okay. And Donna is the former trustee for Region 7, correct?
Correct.
And that means that Donna was that bridge that went between Region 7 and World Service. And I think it ought to be acknowledged how much work this lady has done on our behalf. And I, for one, I'm very grateful, because without Donna's enthusiasm, I probably wouldn't have had the nerve to volunteer to do anything for Region 7. I would have just sat there and listened. But what the heck, I'm in, I'm proud, I'm loud, and how about it?
Give me a hug.
Hi, everybody. I'm Donna. I'm called to go read it. I just got to tell you that I was kind of blown away, crying on my husband's shoulder, because Amazing Grace is my favorite page in the For Today book. And if you don't know where it is, it's in December. Can't tell you what day, because anyway, it's there. And I just love it. It's truly my story. Anyway, I'm not just the former region trustee, I'm not just the former region chair. I am a compulsive overeater. That's really the only identity I need to share with you here. And I have some pictures. Just a sheet there, thank you very much. And put my glasses on now since I'm done crying. Donna, a compulsive overeater, and I don't have a union day at my intergroup because they don't have anybody do the service. I'm sad about that, but I sure am glad to be with all of them. I've never been at a union day this big. This is like wonderful. Give yourself a round of applause. This is fantastic. I'm so happy that you're all here. And I've met some old friends again and again and again. Thank you very much. And some new friends I've met, a lot of them in the ladies' room, actually. Good place to meet. And the men's room, which is actually the ladies' room today. I've been around Overeaters Anonymous since January 1993, and one day at a time, I'm maintaining a 55-pound weight loss. And I have 18 years and 11 months of abstinence. And that's back to back, by the way, as of March 21st, 1993. I'm really here to talk about unity, since it's Unity Day, of course, and I have experienced that in my life, and I hate microphones. I've got a big enough mouth, you wouldn't need this. The word unity has five letters, only five letters, but it's really become a very big word in my life. Excuse me. It's changed my life. So I just want to share just a little bit about that with you. The dictionary, if you look up, you know, I had to look it up. It says that it defines it as, it's a single unit to unite or to merge. But OA Tradition 1 tells us that our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. And it also tells us, excuse me a minute here. Oh, there goes my toy. That's all right, that's there. I can get it later. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Page 111, Tradition 1. What Tradition 1 suggests is that we give our people's opinions a respectful hearing. Respectful, word I didn't have in my life. We express our own opinions honestly without belittling those who may disagree. As we listen and speak, we keep our minds and our hearts open to our higher power's will in all our matters. After the discussion is over and the group has made a decision, we don't allow any lingering feelings of conflict to divide the group. In no way we resolve our differences of opinion by considering the welfare of the group as a whole. Now, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of us have carried this into our lives, our personal lives, not just our OA lives? Do we do that in our lives? Do we do that in our jobs, our churches, our clubs, our organizations that we belong to? Okay. Well, I didn't either. Until I came, you know, to OA and found out what unity was really about. Unity is also, by the way, for those of you who don't know, concept one. Do you all know we have 12 concepts, like 12 traditions? Okay. All right. So concept one, unity, is the ultimate responsibility and authority of OA's Anonymous World Services resides in a collective conscious of our fellowship, just like a collective conscious of our place of employment or our home or our family. The fellowship of OA's Anonymous is founded on the belief that God, as we understand him, is expressed in the decisions made by the representative group conscience of our membership as a whole. There's a big word, as a whole. Voting members unite through delegated participation at the group, in a group, national language service levels, region and world service levels, and in accordance with their conscience and keeping the 12 traditions, make the decisions they believe are the best for OA's Anonymous as a whole. And that's what I tried to take into my life, into my personal life. See, I have these crazy notes here. I just want to go back just a little bit into why I'm actually here today. By the time I was 9 years old, I was already riding the Titanic. Y'all know the Titanic, right? Sinking ship. Okay. Well, I was definitely on that. I don't care how many years ago it was, I was there. I was declared morbidly obese at age 9. I was labeled Crisco, the lard that wouldn't melt, because my name rhymed with it, Brisco. Brisco, Crisco. And I was labeled the lard that would not melt, okay? I would not melt. So I grew up without friends, without trust, without belonging anywhere. As somebody was saying earlier, like trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Nowhere. There was no place in this entire world for me. Nowhere. It made life seemingly impossible to live. And the only thing that I was ever united with was my decision, and it was my decision to eat compulsively. Once somebody once told me, that's always stuck with me, that the only difference between me and the alcoholic is that the alcoholic drinks it out of a bottle, and I eat mine with a forklift. So you see, what I'm united with is a forklift, okay? I can't forget that. My body size has nothing to do with nothing. My problem is here, as you all know. So I was being united with a forklift until 19 years ago, okay? And it's still waiting out there for me in the parking lot. So that's why I'm here, really, why I'm here. At 14, I became known as Bismarck the Battleship. Sink the Bismarck, Johnny Gordon, didn't do me no favors. So I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to go anywhere, you know, except to my grave. I had a bad day in school one day, and
I'll come home every day faithfully. My grandmother would be waiting there for me so I could sob in her arms. And this day was particularly bad. I'd just been driven through the dirt and back again. She tried to hug me, comfort me, say, okay, let's talk about it. And I said, I wish you would go away and never come back. And later that night, she died. She died. And I got to throw in here that Amazing Grace was her favorite hymn. Okay? So I not only in addition to my anger and my resentment and all the crappy feelings I was dealing with already, I was dealing with guilt. Okay? Guilt. So there was no chance for me to apologize, obviously. It was too late. So I felt guilty. Until I knew I didn't have to have that anymore. At 16, I met my wonderful husband. In the back there, we're married 45 and a half years. Only the last 19, they're not the honeymoon, okay? I'm not asking him to agree, I'm telling him. Okay, so, 45 and a half years, we're married, and I don't know, I think it's still working. Yeah, it's dead.
The battery must have corrupted.
You got another one? Oh, yeah. No, this one's dead. Anyway.
Oh, there you go.
I killed it. Yeah, you're good. Okay. So, anyway, where was I here? Oh, yeah, so, at last, I had found the man of my dreams. We fell in love to a burgers, fries, shakes, and lots of desserts, okay? And, no, it's dead. Why don't you just let me scream?
Okay, scream.
Can't yell, louder, okay. So that's better, I can hold my paper with two hands. Anyway, we fell in love to basically, you know, the foods of our choice. We married 3 years later and I got my nurse's license. And at last I found somebody to love me, to care for me. And surely this is what unity meant in my life. I never had to do anything again. He'd take care of me, he'd love me. And I'd be fine, you know, for the rest of my life. He'd see that nobody ever hurt me again. So now, if he could give me that little house with a white picket fence and a baby, everything would be perfect. Life would be grand. That was really all I needed. So a year and a half later, I had my son. Somewhere on the piece of paper. I just lost him. Okay, anyway, I'd be happy for you. So I got pregnant. And a year and a half later, and 65 pounds later, still on the right page, but it doesn't matter. 65 pounds later, I gave birth to my son. And I thought that I had really found unity now, because now we had a family. We had a family. Throughout that pregnancy, I chased my wonderful husband 30 miles per trip to my grandmother's bakery to get, my other grandmother, by the way, apple dumplings and chocolate marshmallow ice cream. And I hope nobody minds me mentioning the food, because I just did it. And it had to be Hershey's chocolate marshmallow ice cream. No other kind would do. So now I'm pregnant. Think about how many weeks there is in 9 months. He had to go at least once a week for that. How many miles is that? If he told me that he was too tired to go, I said, blankety blank you, I'm leaving. I'm out of here, okay? I'm done. I'm taking your baby with me. I didn't have the baby yet. You know, I was a very angry, defiant person. Very angry, defiant person. Didn't know why the man stuck with me. I really didn't. 65 pounds. I told you I gained 65 pounds. So after I had the baby, he bought us the house with a little white fence. So then I really did. I had it all. I really had it all, or so I thought. So surely that this must be unity. I had a little family to unite with, you know. Nobody else, nothing else mattered. I didn't have to leave my house. I didn't have to see anybody, and you certainly didn't want to see me. I wore my breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and spent most of my day in my night clothes. I know a lot of you know that story. You could know the menu just by looking at my clothes. I assure you there's nothing on my jacket unless I spilled it at lunch. About 3.5 years later, I got my little pink package, my daughter, and the doctor declared me morbidly obese after being 200 pounds again. Yet again, I was 200 pounds.
And that was 6 weeks after the baby, not before the baby, after the baby. So God knows. Anyway, because I'll tell you what, she was only a 5.5-pound baby. I got no excuse. So I had to, no choice but to go back to all the diet pills that I was sure I was hooked on and try to get off of. But in addition to that, I could eat these wonderful things in a box called AIDS and drink a whole bucket of water with them, okay? So you know what, that's pretty much what I did all day while I was raising my children. So more insanity set in, and now in addition to everything else, I had become a pill junkie. In an attempt to belong, we joined a nearby church, and we also raised a specially foster child. Church was interesting because going to church meant dinner after church, okay? And there was this great place called Sweet Williams Restaurant that we really liked to frequent. So this one particular Sunday, we planned on going to church, to dinner, and to take the kids to the Philadelphia Zoo. So my husband announces to me after church that we're going to the zoo, but we can't go to dinner. You have to go home and cook. I'm like, no, no. You promised you'd take me to Sweet Williams, so guess what? I threw one of my hissy fits, went home, slammed the bedroom door, and I went to bed. My kids didn't get to the zoo. They didn't get anywhere. And that's not the only time that ever happened. You know, it's a really humiliating thing. But I know that a lot of you have done that as well. Retrieved to your bedroom. I made my amends, you know, but I can't forget how it was then. So, you know, there certainly was no unity in my family. I didn't give anything. I took. I was a taker. So if that wasn't enough, I threw fits like this all the time. But in addition to that, speaking of the bedroom, I would entice my husband to have sex with me. And then I would slap him around and tell him what a no-good SOB he was. And when I was done doing that, I'd leave the bedroom, go to the refrigerator, turn on the TV, and sleep on the couch. I can't tell you, I can't count that high how many times I did that. And before the last 19 years, you know. Defects don't disappear overnight, but I was sure glad to get rid of that one. I was sure grateful to get rid of that one. So, you know, there I was again, an abuser. I mean, who will want to abuse a wonderful man like this? You know, a lot of you know him. He's a wonderful man. I'm blessed to have him in my life. But I did that because I was the sick person that I was. Still am, just not exercising it today. So I did that too. And many nights on the couch, as I said. As the disease progressed, I stole Valiums from my foster daughter, who was special needs and had to have seizure control. I didn't care. I needed the pills worse than she did because I wanted to die. So I did that. I also put my hand through a glass window on my door because I saw fit to do that. On the day that I was in charge of six preschoolers, I decided this was the time for me to die. Well, one of the kids who was old enough ran down the street and got his mom and said, "Mom, Donna cut her hand on the window." You know, and that was that. So much for trying to die in front of six kids. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God the kid was old enough to run down the street. So I did that too. You know, I tried to take my life many, many times in an effort just to not have to wake up every day and face what was the cancer of my life, you know. No offense to anybody who has cancer, but this disease is like cancer in my life. It was just killing me one way or the other. I was going to die, you know, I was going to die. So I just continued to do that. I opened a daycare home, a state licensed daycare home, and I baked every day. One for you, two for me. Two for you, three for me, okay? I stole money, state funds, to feed my addiction. Not proud to say that, but I made my amends, and it's a part of who I am. So I wasn't thinking of those poor, starving children either. Some years later, when my children got older, I got my dream job working as a licensed practical nurse at a nonprofit organization that serves special challenged individuals. One of my duties was to teach CPR to the people because I was supposed to be the responsible one. Okay, I was the head nurse there, leading off the team, and I remember one night I taught the class, and I didn't have time to go for dinner. Why would anybody take dinner to work, right? I do now. Lunch and dinner if I need it. So I did have time to walk past a Wendy's and go to the fast food convenience store on the corner, which just happened to have a sale on Cadbury eggs. Y'all know what those are, right? Okay. 23 bags on sale. I bought them all. Went back to my office, went up to the cafeteria, got a big bowl. I said, this will be great. I'll keep everybody awake. I'll pass this bowl. Not. 4 hours later, the bowl was empty, and guess who ate it? Hello. I will tell you very quickly that after I got into OA in 1993, because that was probably about maybe 1990, I can't really recall, a lovely young lady came into the copy room. She said, I know you. I said, you do? She said, yeah. She said, you taught me CPR. I said, I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. How do you remember me? She said, because. She said, I didn't like you very much, and you scared me to death. I said, I'm sorry. She said, well, she said, you know, you're the person who passed around, put the bowl of the Cadbury eggs in front of you in intention to pass them around, and we never got any. We ate the whole bowl in before the class was over. The shame that I felt. And then I was in recovery. She said, but you know what? She said, you look different. Thank God. Thank God. She said, you look like a pretty happy person. I said, thank you. And she wasn't necessarily reflecting my body. As my pictures go around, I carry a driver's license with me because if you just look at that one picture, it's showing death in my eyes. There's no two ways about it. That's my I want to die picture. So, so I haven't seen that young girl yet, but I thank her for telling me that she remembered that I was the lady who ate the 23 bags of Cadbury eggs right in front of her in 4 hours. So they're not my thing anymore, but... Anyhow, so I did that as well, you know, and I used to lie on my timesheet. I stole time from my company. I took longer lunches to think of the best part of the day. Of course, you know, in January of 1993, though, the bottom kind of fell out of my life because I just finished another diet and lost my 50 pounds again for about the fifth time in my life. 50, I don't know what I lost, but somewhere in there, because it was always around the same. And I went home, and my husband had just been to the doctor, and he was declared morbidly obese. I said, okay. So what are we going to do about that? We. Two letters, we. A single is I, double is we. Okay, plural, what are we going to do about that? And I had just, oddly enough, 2 days before on my job, ran into someone I knew who just lost 100 pounds. And I was worried about my husband, and I said to her, I said, how'd you do that? She said, well, I had a stroke, and then I had to get well. I said, well, how did you get well? She said, I found Overeaters Anonymous. I said, who's Anonymous? She said, Overeaters Anonymous. I said, what is it? Where is it? Blah, 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 blah. Never mind me, I said, I need to go home and tell my husband about this place that he can go. So I did that. I did that, and I begged him, and I screamed at him. I shouted, I did my fit dance. And finally, he just looked at me, and actually, the truth of the matter is I left with a bag for about an hour and said I'm leaving like I always did. And I came back. I found him sitting in the same chair where I left him an hour before. He said, I'll do anything you tell me, just please don't leave me. I said, well, since you mentioned that, there's this place we can go. We can go to Overeaters Anonymous on a Sunday night at 7:30 at the church. He said, I'll go if you just go with me just one time. One time, please take me, and then I'll do the rest myself. Now, there, you know what? There's an offer you can't turn down. I didn't need it. What do I need it for? I was in the body I wanted to be in. You know, my weight was down again. There was nothing wrong with me. Yeah, right. Nothing below the neck, right? So I went with him. I went, and I'm a very nosy person by nature. So I kind of just kept hanging out, not wanting to know too much, never said a word. And on March the 21st of 1993, and I don't have time to read all this, but if you all want a copy of it, if you need your address, I'll be happy to mail you one. This is what saved my butt. This is in Lifeline Sampler. I'm only going to read the two paragraphs because this is me. Have you ever looked up at the stars and wondered what an insignificant person like you was doing in the world anyway? Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, welcome home. A little bit further down it tells you, have you ever felt that God, if he existed at all, made his biggest mistake when he created you? Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, welcome home. if any of you here can relate to any of this and you'd like to have a copy and you let me know, I have a book here, I'll be happy to take your name and address and mail it to you, because I do not believe that it is on any website that I know of. It should be, but I don't think it is. This is what saved my butt. That hour, that Saturday morning, I didn't leave without a sponsor. Okay? But this was what saved my butt, and I just always have to share it. So I kept coming back. And I'm still now known as the Queen of M&Ms. My oldest granddaughter, she gave me this little jigger here. She's 21 now. But she remembers before 1993, because she was born in 1990, that Grandma used to buy all the M&Ms and line them up on the table and say, "Okay, honey, I'm going to eat the red ones, the green ones, and the yellow ones, and the orange ones, but I'm going to save the best ones for you. They're the brown ones and the tan ones, and you can have them all." Okay. So I've never had a blue M&M, by the way, but the red ones truly were my favorites. Don't know why, but they were. So when these came out in the Happy Meals, my granddaughter, who was, well, just a few years old then, she probably gave this to me like when I was in LA a couple years. And she gave it to me. She said, "Grandma," she said, "I'm giving you this because I want you to know they're saying, don't eat me, don't eat me." I don't know if you can hear that, but it's making a noise. And she said, "They're saying, don't eat me," she said, "because I like you just the way you are." You know, and that was such a joy to behold coming from a small child. And she grew up in the rooms. We used to have her play under the table with the kids and run around with their Halloween costumes and their coloring books and crayons. So she knows a lot about Overeaters Anonymous. Doesn't claim to have a seat, but I know she knows that she'd have a home if she wanted one. So I am definitely still the Queen of M&Ms. Let me see. Yes, I want to tell you, 6 years ago, I really did get my dream job for real. My mother got Alzheimer's and I had to leave the other job of 18 years. And I found an agency that serviced specially challenged pediatric medical cases. And I'm a licensed practical nurse for an agency, and I'm a pediatric home health nurse, but only for special needs children. And I just love what I do. I'm so blessed. It's truly become the dream of my life. And I told you, I've been married 45 and a half years to my best friend, my very best friend in the world. And I have a sponsor. I am a sponsor. I give some form of service every day, whether it's serving my inner group, my region, or, as you know, I was at the World Service level. I'll make a phone call, give a ride. Service has taken me places beyond my wildest dreams. And I'm now a part of an international family. I'm home. I practice the steps and the traditions to the best of my ability in my life every day. And I like to read page 3, I think it's 338, out of Voices Recovery. It's 328. It's here somewhere. Page 328, which happens to be November the 23rd. This is the message I want all of you to hear. Service is its own reward. When I came into OA, I thought that service givers were an elite class of people, and I had to earn my place among them. I also thought service was about giving. Our tools give us the give, what we have to so generously be given. I've disclosed that service is for everyone, and everyone has something to contribute. That means you, 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 and you. We all have something. Okay? Those who give service stay in OA longer than those who don't. The relative newcomers who take on even a small service, mine started with a key. A small service, come back to meetings. My experience tells me that when I give service, I receive more than I could ever give. When I share my experience, strength, and hope with someone, I often say just what I needed to hear. I have learned skills I would not have today, and I have not if I had not given service above the group level. I learned to work in a team and to look for what is best for the whole. I am responsible for small, sick children. I work for their families. They have to trust me. I never trusted anybody in my life. In addition to that, you can't just be someone who walks in the door. You need to belong to the family, and you have to earn that. And I've earned my seat in three wonderful families that I love like my own family. I learned to speak in front of people. Doesn't mean I like it. And I found that was good, because it is good to do it. I learned to give workshops and facilitate meetings. Through these skills, I've embarked on a new career. Service has taught me more and given me more than I could ever have given. And I got to tell you, man, that is just, it is just the truth. There was a service junkie here some years ago named Alan Birkenfeld. I know that you all know him well. It's his fault, guys. Some of you know that. He got me where I was. Thank God. He now sits on the board of trustees that I've left, and I'm so proud and I'm so happy to be able to call him friend. So, you know, I do to the best of my ability one day at a time, and I still haven't arrived. I trust my higher power to direct the show each day when I get up. If there's something I don't agree with or somebody I don't agree with throughout my day, I don't argue anymore. Believe it or not, I can shut up and listen to their reason, and many times find out, just like I read to you out of the 12 and 12, that somebody else might be right after all, and it might be a better idea. So I don't beat on my husband anymore either. In this life, when we go to sleep at night, we hold hands until we go to sleep. And that is, I asked him if I could say that. He's grinning. That, it's, you know, I used to pray for things like that, you know, and they would never happen because. And if you ask him, he'll tell you he don't want the bitch back. So, you know, I'm respected at my job because I'm a good listener. I mind my own business. I don't know where that one came from, but I do. I don't envy others. I'm grateful for who I am today. I'm honest. I can be trusted, and I would give a good day's work for a fair wage. I want to tell you, though, that on my job, I'm going to love this, I feed M&Ms to my small patients so that they will pee in the potty for potty training, knowing that they're not mine. But in exchange, I have a great pleasure when they give me a potty to clean. Okay? I have a couple of things. If I have time, I don't know what my time is. Can I read a couple of things out of Voices of Recovery? Okay. I guess, guys, what I'm telling you is, you know, it's been a long journey for me, but I'm not done. But I'm finally getting a little piece of the human being, and what a word, that I want to be for the rest of my life. I'm happy in my body, that's one thing, but I'm happy with my soul. I'm at peace. I get up in the morning and I say, okay, God, here we go again, and he can attest to that. He hears me every morning talking to God, you know, because I'm so grateful, and at night, I thank God for everything I've been given, and maybe some things I didn't like, you know, but for whatever I've been given in that particular day. So I'd like to read to you page 19, which is January the 19th, and it's definitely about unity, for me anyway. Starts out, I put my hand in yours, and together, well, we all know that's from Beyond Our Wildest Dreams. I was alone, and I knew it. I was and am an odd duck, intelligent yet lacking common sense and tact. I was angry at God. God bless you. I felt cursed. I ate, and I ate, and then I ate some more. Then came the miracle of the program. There my weaknesses were assets. They made me a member, and there's that word, amazing. I felt understood for the first time in my life. That was the beginning. With fellow compulsive eaters, I daily put down the food, and I walked the walk of recovery. Nice tune. No, that's okay. Been there, done it, it's okay. I reached out my hands knowing that together we could do what we could never do alone. In the rooms of OA, I learned the lesson of our AA pioneers. There is a God. I'm not God. In those rooms, I gradually experienced all the promises the Big Book describes. In those rooms, I am home. Today and every day, I am grateful to the God of my understanding that I was desperate enough to reach out and blessed enough to find the hand of Overeaters Anonymous. And page 191, which is here somewhere. I don't know if you all read this book, but if you don't have it, get it, because it's great. This is July the 9th. Being a part of the group is initial to recovery from our disease of isolation. There's that big word. It means supporting and being supported by our fellow OA members. This passage tells me I have a disease of isolation and the solution is to be a part of the group. It also tells me that being a part of the group means I support my fellows in OA and they support me. When I first came to OA, I didn't feel a part of anything in my life. True. I never felt I belonged or fit anywhere. True. OA tells me that I belong because I am a compulsive overeater. Doesn't matter how much I weigh, how much money I have, that I've earned, what color my hair is, or anything else. I belong, and I am equal. This is the only place I will ever be equal. The only place. I know that to be true. I'm not trying no place else. This is the only place for me. I was afraid to let anyone know me. Being a part of the group allowed me to open up a little bit at a time. As I felt more a part of the group, I felt more of the support available to me. From that, I learned to support others. Together, we can do what we can never do alone. Thank you. Now I know I'm not alone. Page 108 is. April the 17th. When we apply OA traditions, we find the treasures of friendship. After being in OA for a while, I look at who is in my life. This has become a very true page for me. The majority of my friends are those I met in these rooms, those who walked the path of recovery with me. When I think of my friends, sometimes I laugh. Most of them are people who would have been my friends in the real world. We seem to have little in common. The big book tells me that we are like those rescued from a sinking ship. Yes, it does. We have in common the peril of compulsive overeating and the common isolation found in the 12 steps. Common solution, oh boy. It's the solution we want, not the isolation in the 12 steps. That provides a bond different from any I have experienced before. Many of these people I would have rejected as being too good for me or not good enough. I'm grateful that I saw the treasure of friendship and that God opened my heart to receive it. I feel like my heart has been opened. And page 152. Let me know when I'm close to done, Merle. I don't know what time it is, so. Okay, 152. Those who have studied them carefully found that these traditions can be applied effectively in all human relationships, both inside and outside of OA. I am grateful to the traditions that keep our groups and our OA as a whole functioning in a healthy way. I am also grateful that I can apply these principles in all my relations, whether anyone else knows about the traditions or not. It's amazing how these simple ideas can improve my interactions. For example, when relationships can't be made better, if I consider our common welfare and strive for unity, I can place God as the ultimate authority over all my relationships and pray for to be a trusted servant. Instead of a controller, I know that word well, I can allow others to be autonomous unless a matter affects the relationships as a whole. Remembering to place principles before personalities helps in all my relationships and dealing with other people. It is such a relief to simply look at an issue at hand and not get caught up in the personalities involved. I know you all understand that. And last but not least, didn't carry my big book, but I carried the pages that I needed to carry here. There is a solution. Now we're back to the Titanic, folks, okay? We are people who normally would not mix, but there exists among us a fellowship, a friendliness, and an understanding which is indescribably wonderful. We are like the passengers of a great liner the moment after rescue from shipwreck. when camaraderie, joyousness, and democracy pervade the vessel from steering to the captain's table. Unlike the feeling of the ship's passengers, however, our joy in escape from disaster does not subside as we go our individual ways. The feeling of having shared in a common peril is the one element in the powerful cement that binds us together, but that in itself would never have held us together if we were not joined. The tremendous fact is, for every one of us, that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out of which we can absolutely agree upon, which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. So unity is harmony. Harmonious, something I never knew in my life. And page 25, which is also in There's a Solution, it's actually one of the hidden promises. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed. I heard something someone share earlier, excuse me, about the fourth dimension. We have rocketed into the fourth dimension of existence of which we had never, ever dreamed. The fact is this, and nothing less, that we have had a deep and effective spiritual experience which have revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, towards our fellows, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could not ever do by ourselves. And this was hard for me to learn, but I certainly do understand it after my days and my hours and my seats in OA. Is my very first thing that I must do upon awakening is always to extend the hand and the heart of OA to all of those who share my compulsion. For this I am responsible. I did see that in the program, thanks to Margaret. So thank you all.
Just a little note, we are going to commence today's program, and we're going to start on the fun and frolic of the rest. So if everyone would not run away in between, we can start bringing everything in and do this. If you are a lucky person and you win a retreat, please do not get all excited and run away without telling Margaret who you are. Because
I found it online.
Okay?
I find it, really.
Of course.
Welcome home.
You can find
really?
Everything. It's oaregion6.org. I can send you the email or the website. I can send you a link to it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what's your
We'd like to get the hope and strength from others, and we're resizing to bring more people all the time. But now, three meetings in Central New Jersey, Old Bridge, 11
STI.
Okay.
8 at MSN.com.
Margaret thinks of me. Old Bridge, 11 o'clock Saturday mornings, every second Saturday of the month, we need some speakers. We would love somebody to bump that kind of machine over here.
Yes.
Sunday night Edison meeting at 7:45 at St. Temple. They're looking for speakers. They're every
week speakers.
And Shrewsbury, Monday night, looking for a positive share newcomer meeting.
I understand.
If anybody could possibly volunteer their time to do service, right? Service. It would be greatly appreciated.
And it does make me I'm not here. Oh, you know what? Just right now.
I'm going to give me a call. You want me to take your number and I'll call you.
Write this down.
You know Ronnie.
Sure.
Okay. Ronnie's on other than us. And what did you do? You traveled here from Pennsylvania?
From Reading, Pennsylvania, yes.
How long is that?
A few hours, about 4.5
hours. That's myself. Is that okay?
From here?
Yeah, from here. A couple of miles, you know, going south, going towards Monmouth County.
Oh, okay.
I had to come over the Driscoll Bridge and the snow and the blow. It was snowing and blowing on the other side of the bridge.
I don't know if it's purple. Ronnie from Seaport. She's in the hospital. She's doing really well. She sends her love to everybody. Thanks everybody for their prayer. She sends her love to everybody. She says she has every intention to see you all here next year.
If anybody